Well, good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. This morning I have the opportunity to talk to Jim Coke Williams. Now, Jim Coke grew up in our community. His dad was the doctor here in town, Dr. J.S. Williams. We're going to talk to Jim about his dad, his mom, his whole family, and the effect they had on our county. We'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, Sutherland Chevrolet.
Neighbor, I buy my cars and trucks at Sutherland Chevrolet right here in Nicholasville because I know who they are. They've been in business here since 1925, and they're always honest and ethical. This is a hometown dealership. No high-pressure sales tactics, no lot lizards, no sleazy come-ons. Just local people treating you the way they'd like to be treated when buying a car or truck. Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn about Jessamine County and Nicholasville and the people who made it the place that it was. I am very proud this morning to have with me a guest who actually lives up in, I think it's Moreland Hills, Ohio, which is outside of Cleveland. So this interview, we are glad to have him on the phone with us to talk about his family. His name is Jim Coke Williams. Now, he grew up here in Jessamine County in Nicholasville, and his dad especially, well, his mother too, but they were very well-known people in our community. His father was a doctor, and some of our listening audience, he may have even delivered you. Good morning, Jim Coke, and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning, Doug. Thank you. Glad to be here.
I am so appreciative that you agreed to come on, because in talking about Jessamine County, a lot of people that are from here have a special, special tie to your family. And one of the main reasons is because at some point in their life, they probably were doctored by your father. So we want to talk about that and how he and your mom affected the people in our town, and then maybe a couple of remembrances of how you were, how it was for you to grow up here. Let's start with you. Now, you are one of four kids, correct?
Yes, I'm the youngest.
And you're up in Ohio, but you grew up here and graduated here from Jessamine County High. So what are you doing now?
Well, actually, Doug, I'm semi-retired now, and when I left Jessamine County, I went to UK, and I was at UK for 6 years. I did get a master's degree in business from UK and was recruited from UK using the placement center, and went to work for an aluminum company. Actually, that was based in Louisville at the time, but was already owned by a larger aluminum company that was based in Montreal. So I spent the next 36-37 years with that large aluminum company. I was in a training program in Miami. Spent 6 years in Atlanta, 6 years in Chicago, and the last 25 years in the Cleveland area where our North American headquarters was.
Well, now, how long has it been since you've been to Jessamine County?
Oh, I get down there several times a year. My wife is who I met originally at UK. She's from Lexington, and her mother and some of her family is still there. And so well, we get back two or three times a year, and I still try to catch a couple of Kentucky ball game and drop in on some friends in Nicholasville when I make those trips, if possible.
So you've been here enough to know how much it has changed.
Oh, my goodness.
Since you grew up here.
Yes.
And it's amazing how much that has happened. Well, let's get into the history then of your family, starting with your dad. Now, I know that he came from a pretty good-sized family. Just tell us about J.S. Williams, Dr. J.S. Williams, how he got his start in the world. And even one of the questions that we want answered is, where did Sankey come from?
The name Sankey?
Yes.
Well, actually, the name Sankey was my grandmother, who I never knew. She was deceased before I was born, was a very devout Methodist. And apparently, Ira D. Sankey was a singer for an evangelist that was popular at that time. So she named her son Sankey.
And that's how it all came about. And you know what's interesting is there are two or three people in this county now that are named Sankey who were delivered by him, and that's why they were called Sankey.
Yeah, and that's interesting. That is a very different name. Yeah, I know a couple of those Sankeys. I think one of them, Sankey Bingham, there that works in the courthouse.
Well, he was born back in 1907, and James Sankey Williams was the sixth of seven children. Tell us where he grew up and how he came to Nicholasville?
He grew up in Johnson County, in a rural part of the county, and he finished, I guess in those days, there was a Mayo College, but it was really more of a high school, Mayo High School. He finished that a few years later. He taught school in a two-room school. I'm not sure what his degree was that he was qualified to do that. He had a dream to go to med school. Somewhere along the way in a science class or some teacher described, followed a drop of blood from the heart to the lungs through the body. Mm-hmm. And I guess he was kind of hooked on that dream. And soon the depression hit, and I think he would go to school for one semester, work for a semester, and he did that for two or three years. He had an older sister that lived in Detroit, and he went to college there for a while, and then eventually he transferred to UK and graduated from UK in 37 and applied to med school, and he was accepted to med school. And I think his older siblings also helped him get through med school, because obviously he couldn't work a semester and go to school a semester for med school. So he finished U of L med school in 42.
And he met his your mother while in med school, is that correct?
Yeah, mom was from Frankfort, Kentucky, and was in nursing school at University of Louisville General Hospital nursing program. So in 42, the war was getting underway, and mm-hmm. he was doing his residency at Louisville General Hospital and St. Joe Infirmary in Louisville. Somewhere in 42 or 3 or 4, he joined the Air Force Medical Corps and was stationed at several different bases in Texas.
Now, he was in the Army Air Corps, I think you told me, in that time. And while he was out in that area, I guess one of the first major events of his and your mother's life came along, and that was the birth of their first child, correct?
Yes. My brother, Frank Yvonne, was born in April of 44 on an Air Force base.
For those people who may be listening that remember Sankey, tell us now where he is at this time.
Sankey has been for many years now in Philadelphia, Philadelphia suburb. He went to college, of course, and went to med school. Spent most of his career as a professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And he's there now. He still does some part-time work for the school. I think he is still involved in a few of his association activities. They have two children, two girls, and five grandchildren.
Great. Now, Sankey was born, the war was going on, it finally finished, and your dad was looking forward to getting out of the Army, and he had a dream. What was Dr. Williams' dream?
Well, his dream was to treat patients from the time they were born through the rest of their lives and take care of families. He actually had an opportunity to do a residency in surgery at Louisville, but he turned that down, and because he did want to practice in a smaller community. Mm-hmm. And with all of his time at UK and his travels from Eastern Kentucky around, he was aware of the different communities and the high demand for family docs. Of course, the war was over and baby boom was on, and I'm not sure how he got to Nicholasville to check it out, but it was the kind of community he wanted. And I know he talked to people like Gilbert Hicks, who was a pharmacist there at the Rexall Drug at that time.
Right.
I think he was impressed with the community and the folks that he met, and that there was office space, and I think they found a place to live that they would be happy with, so they decided to come to Nicholasville.
And they did come to Nicholasville. In fact, one of the places that I guess the people remember him living still stands up on North Main Street. And his office was down on West Oak, I think, what is now between Central Bank and Hager & Cundiff Funeral Home in that stretch of buildings.
That's correct. It actually was behind the old post office. Mm-hmm. There was a small parking lot, and then his office was actually, I think, transformed at one time was a bus station. I've heard that story.
Well, in later years, that same group of buildings held the Nicholasville City Hall and the fire department, the police department, all that. I also know that when he got out of the Army and he was starting his practice, the second big event in the family happened, and that was a birth of a daughter.
Yes, my sister Hazel Mary was born in 46. She was born in Nicholasville and finished school in Nicholasville, then went to college in Virginia, and she got her master's in medical librarianship, which I didn't realize that was she did met. And I guess medical librarians work at med schools, and she met her husband, and he was originally from Mississippi. He, too, was interested in coming back to Central Kentucky to practice, and they set up a practice in Georgetown in Scott County.
Now, those two children, he's working, and he's become basically what I guess you would consider a country doctor in the little town of Nicholasville. And before we talk about his practice, let's go ahead and talk about the other two kids, because in 1950, a third child arrived.
Yeah, my sister Claire Helen, she also went to Jessamine County High School and went to University of Tennessee at Chattanooga to college, met her husband. They moved to St. Augustine, Florida, and ended up in Atlanta. And my sister spent almost 38, 40 years with the Georgia School for the State School for the Deaf. And she was a deaf ed instructor and administrator. And today they have two children and two grandchildren also.
But of course, in 1953, the whole family jumped with joy, I suppose, as the final child made his appearance. And that of course,
is you. That was me, April of 53.
Yeah. Let's talk about your dad and his philosophy as far as being a doctor, his work ethic, and what kind of the normal day was for J.S. Williams.
Yeah, he was very dedicated, Doug. You think about that pace. His day would start about 6:30. He would drive to the hospitals in Lexington to see patients, Central Baptist, St. Joe, and Good Sam. He would make his rounds, and he would get back to his Nicholasville Oak Street office. Oh, I'm not sure, depending on whether it be 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whenever, and usually, I recall anyway, the waiting room was always full of patients, and he would start seeing his patients, and then he would eat lunch at his desk in the office, and after, when the office hours were over, he would make a few house calls, come home for dinner, and sometimes emergencies would happen, and so it was a pretty rugged pace.
Was there a number of doctors in our town at that time, or was...
I think there were three or four.
But even for the number, I mean, even though the population was much smaller, that was still a pretty good caseload, I'm assuming, for all of those.
Yes, and I think some of those doctors were near the end of their practice. I'm not real sure. Of course, I wasn't around, or I don't recall, the earliest years. Yeah, he was extremely busy.
And of course, he had some good help, especially from your mother, who was a registered nurse. Now, I guess her hands were extremely full because she was trying to raise four kids.
Yeah, I'm sure those were busy days. They were both very dedicated. Ethel Grimes was a great help and a popular nurse also who helped Dad. I know a lot of those early deliveries of maternity cases, a lot of them were home deliveries, and, especially the early years. Of course, those could happen at any time, as we know, and a couple in one day or at the same time. I've heard stories where if there were two people in labor at once, maybe Mom would go to one house and Dad would go to another one, or Miss Grimes would go to one and Dad would go to another. And often, I know several times of Dad being out just about all night long and then coming back and starting his day anyway.
It sounds like that their hands were extremely full just with their work and just with you kids, but they made time for things that was very important to them. I know that I've read in some writings here that they were very active in the church also.
Yeah, the Methodist Church, again, was important to both of them. And in fact, Doug, it happened on more than one occasion. I recall we would be sitting in church, usually in the center section, four or five rows from the front of the church. And at that time, the Nicholasville Methodist Church, the church office was just off the sanctuary and a single door to the office. A couple of times the phone would ring, and it would ring and ring and ring, and somebody would finally answer, and it was somebody looking for Dr. Williams, because they knew on Sunday morning between 11 and 12 they'd probably catch him there.
So he had satellite offices before it was cool.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, we're talking about your mom and how she was very active in doing a lot of things, and whether it be the women's club, and I understand she was a founding member of the Housing Commission, interested in the PTA, but there's one particular thing here that her and your dad kind of were instrumental in establishing that people probably don't realize, and that was the health department.
I was very young when that was going on, Doug, but yes, I've seen photos and heard some of those stories.
And we get from one of the writings that we have that she was part of the committee that raised funds to even facilitate that original office. So a lot of work and that they did back then are still touching lives today. And, you know, that's got to make you and your brothers and sisters feel good.
Yeah, my parents were workers, and they wanted to help people and be a part of the community, and I certainly feel like they were. I mean, I think they felt a lot of people really appreciated their work.
You know, we was talking earlier about him making his deliveries, and I have been excited for you to share this little statistic with our audience of how many did he deliver?
It's kind of hard to imagine, Doug, but the office kept two large binders with all the babies that were delivered. They were by date, by alphabet, several different ways they kept that. But it's right around 3,500 babies.
Oh, man.
And that was really only a 20, 21-year period, because as his health started to decline, he had a heart attack in, I want to say, 68 or something. 66. Mm-hmm. He actually cut that part of his practice out because that was the most demanding on his time and his health condition. So that averages a little over 160 babies a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is truly amazing. And a lot of those people still here in our county and remember him for that fact that he was the one who delivered me. Your dad in 1977 had a special honor paid to him. Our mayor at that time, Shelby Combs, declared it to be the Wiley Williams Day. That was June 26, and there was a ceremony and a dinner and a big thing. Share with us who Dr. Wiley was and their relationship.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a nice event, and C.R. Hager at the Methodist Church was probably the force behind that. You know, he and Dad were friends, and of course, he and Dad and Dr. Wiley were all friends. You know, Dad was nearing retirement, and Dr. Wiley, of course, had been around and for many years, even prior to Dad being in town. C.R. Hager put that together and invited folks out to the ceremony. A lot of people wrote letters of appreciation, and it was a very nice day.
And a lot of people may or may not know that your dad and your mom, with the compassionate hearts they had, I'm sure there was a lot of doctor bills that went unpaid by people that just couldn't afford to do that. And, you know, those rural communities like we had in other communities, that happens. Thank goodness we have people like your parents who are willing to put that aside and help us anyway.
I think Dad was in a minority of doctors when Medicare and Medicaid, when that was initiated, that probably helped the revenue in his office, because you're right, I understand some things were never paid for.
Sure. Well, you know, he was very vital to this community in his work and his, not only his professional as a doctor, but also in his church work and civic organizations. But tell us about J.S. Williams as a dad.
Dad was, he was supportive of all four of us and mom, and you know, he was just so daggone busy, but he found time to make sure we got to a Cincinnati Reds game probably once a year. Certainly, if any needs, he would be there to help us. But actually, he was gone a lot with that schedule he kept. So what all four of us actually did, we all remember making house calls with Dad. We wouldn't go in to see the patients. Of course, we would stay in the car, usually listening to ball games on the radio or music or something, while he made his house calls. That was a way to spend time with him.
You mentioned earlier Ethel Grimes, and that brought to mind maybe some of the other people that worked for Dr. Williams that our audience would know.
Oh, sure. There were a lot of folks, and just by being in that busy office, they themselves were all very dedicated to helping folks. I think of Margaret Woodward was kind of an office manager, receptionist for many years. Gail Hayden was before my time, but she worked there for a short period of time. Sharon Reynolds, just like Ethel Grimes, was a very, very popular nurse for a long time and helped a lot of people. Billy Garrison worked there for a little while as a nurse, a substitute nurse, I think, and so did Mickey Kreiner, mm-hmm. Honey Kreiner's wife. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I'm leaving some out, but it was a busy place in that office.
It had to be with the deliveries and the number of people. That's what's amazing to me, Coke, is, and you know, we are part of this Facebook page about Jessamine County, and that's kind of how we hooked up even. But the remarks that are made on there and the number of people on there that remember your dad and your mom and those people you just mentioned, the nurses, and the care that they were given is amazing. What would he say? What would he say if he could today see all of those comments and hear all those things that are being said and see the impact that he had on this county 40 years later?
No doubt, Doug, he would appreciate that very much. There's no doubt people still remember or that he helped folks. I think both my parents were all about trying to improve things and help people, and there was some satisfaction, you know, like in that, seeing people, helping people.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I call it the ripple effect. You know, it's amazing how much we do today that you don't realize could be a factor and affect somebody 30, 40, 50 years from now.
As you know, it's really, practice is really different. I even recall it wasn't until, I mean, the first half of Dad's practice, he didn't even have malpractice insurance because it just never dawned on him that was something you had to do. And I think somewhere along the line, the realities of what was happening, he changed and got that. But again, you wouldn't even think of not, a physician today would not even dare practice medicine without advisors or insurance, et cetera.
Well, of course, back then in that time, everybody in this county basically knew everybody. Or you were related to everybody in the county. And that still goes on to some extent, but not like it was those times. You know, things change a lot, but we appreciate the fact that there are people like your dad and your mom who paved the way for us here in Jessamine County and contributed to our history, and they are to always be remembered for giving of themselves and the great effort they made in making our county a better place to live. And I appreciate you sharing this with us this morning.
You know, Doug, it was a great place to grow up. In my career, like I said earlier, I've moved around and lived in three or four large cities, and we always tried to move somewhere with a good school system and popular suburbs or locations. Mm-hmm. I really, when I think back of the farms and the rivers and the good teachers and the schools and the churches that I had growing up, I think Nicholasville was a great place to grow up and live, and I'm sure others listening probably agree with that.
Yeah. Jim Koch, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you being with us here on All Things Jessamine.
And well, thank you, Doug. Thank you for your efforts with this and the Facebook site. I think it's helped bring a lot of folks together.
Well, I want to thank Jim Koch for joining me today and reflecting on his parents, his dad, and his practice here in our county. A lot of people were touched by Dr. Williams and his wife and all of those great nurses who worked in that office. People still today remember his generosity, his kindness, and the way that he treated them. Next Saturday, we'll do it again on All Things Jessamine. Hope that you will join us at 11 o'clock every Saturday morning right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Neighbor, there's nothing that makes me madder than buying something today and finding a lower price tomorrow. That's why I only buy tires at Sutherland Chevrolet in Nicholasville. They have the price match guarantee. If you purchase any brand name tires from Sutherland and you see that brand available somewhere else for a cheaper price in the next 30 days, they'll refund you the difference. That's just one of the honest and ethical business practices you'll find at Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville, a different kind of automobile dealership.